Hey guys, it's DJ Anita B here, and you're listening to House of Mimosa, the podcast. Before we get to Britney and Iggy's Pretty Girls, I want to talk to you about Audible. If you've listened to the show before, of course you know Audible is one of our favorite sponsors. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/HOM podcast and choose over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/HOM podcast. That's audibletrial.com/HOM podcast and get started today. Do you know that each and every download helps keep House of Mimosa the podcast free? That's right. And of course, a roof over Travis and Steven's head. So go and sign up now, get your free book, and start listening today. This is Travis
and Steven,
and of course you're listening to House of Mimosa, the podcast. I know I say this every time we have a guest.
I know you do,
and so like it probably bears like no weight anymore, but I actually am so excited about today's guest.
We're really thrilled. Yeah,
we've become friends over social media. We got to meet at an amazing charity event at Stage 48 here in New York City, where we both performed. I'm talking about the one and only, the gorgeous, social media maven, businesswoman extraordinaire, performance diva,
extravaganza.
I can't say enough. I love
me.
It. Ladies and gentlemen, Bible girl.
Who?
Yeah, Bible girl. Bible welcome, girl. Zach.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's so great to have you here.
We've been dying to have you. We're so excited. I can't get enough. If you guys don't know Bible girl, please check out Bible girl. Are you Bible girl 666?
Yeah, online it's Bible Girl 666, being that Bible Girl is already taken by like actual evangelicals on social media. I get caught in hashtags all the time with people who are like posting psalms and
all the
scripture
perfect.
Moments. Yeah,
good for you. So check out Bible Girl 666 on all social media, and is it BibleGirl666.com?
Yep, all one word .com. It's pretty straightforward, easy.
Well, we're gonna get into your story and your profile and all that later, but we thought you'd be a perfect guest to have go through Hot Topics with us.
Ooh.
We're kind of like The View here. You can be, who's Raven Simone's been on there recently?
I was going to call dibs on Rosie.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Rosie Perez.
I don't mind Rosie Perez. Was she on, she's on Devious Maids, or am I being racist?
No, I think you're
racist.
Being racist.
Okay.
But we're racist too, so that's
okay. I love Devious Maids, so don't.
Oh, that's Anna
I
walk
in my dry cleaners, and I text Steve, and I'm like, Connie Chung works here.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Lisa Ling is in the dry cleaners.
A celebrity?
That's
washing my clothes?
You're thinking of Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who
okay.
I love.
Okay.
She's so sweet.
So, Hot Topics, what do we got?
All right. Well, Orange is the New Black came out.
Orange is the New Black is back. So, my problem with Orange is the New Black and Netflix shows is that there's, like, no recap. And
no.
I guess I have the attention span of like
I didn't think about
a
that.
Child in the year 2015, but I cannot retain the information from what happened last
no.
year.
Yeah.
So we're watching the first episode and I'm like, what the fuck is this about?
We're like, what's going on?
What the
They're
hell?
Starting all new storylines.
Who the hell is V? What are they talking about?
Well, see, that's the thing. So they dropped the episodes and I a week later I was like, okay, it's time for me to start getting back into this. Let me
us
watch
too.
It. And so I was watching it a few days ago, and I was watching. I think I'd smoked a joint right beforehand, to be
good
honest. Why? I was like, I want popcorn, I'm going to chill, enjoy myself. And like 30 minutes into it, I just kind of like, not because of the weed, because it was cute weed, but it was like I was zoning in on the show, and I was like, this is kind of garbage.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if it's because like you just brought up lack of a recap, which I... Now that I'm thinking about it, that could have a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
I remember specifically being like, who the fuck is V?
Yeah. Well, they should have had, they should release like a week before it comes out or a month before it comes
a
out.
Teaser.
Like like a special, like 30 minute, like, you know, a recap.
I'm cool
will.
With a recap.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
put
a
Pandora
recap.
Box on that one,
oh,
too.
Poor Pandora.
I like Pandora.
The thing about Pandora
she was kind of the queen that I really liked and enjoyed.
Well, I know her from back in the day growing up in Syracuse because she performed
that's
in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember seeing her do like Madonna and, mm-hmm. you know, all these, you know, great. I mean, she was like a big deal. And when she was on Drag Race and she did... Snatch Game, she did...
Carol Channing.
Carol Channing. It was
so good.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
But I think that she's getting ragged on a lot by the other girls.
Yeah,
know?
There's... Yeah, I think...
A lot of roasts that, you know,
there's
throwing shade at her.
And shade is hard to deal with sometimes, just based on the fact that it's like...
Well, not everyone can do it. Not everyone does it well.
Yeah,
because you
that.
Have to do it with love in your heart for it to be taken... the right way when you're throwing shade at somebody in front of them.
Well, it's like, I was out last night and I was with a good girlfriend of mine who has been on TV before, but not for drag, but she does drag, but so no one recognized her. So
okay.
We're outside and she's smoking. We're outside together and there's some drag queen who didn't look any better. If anything, she looked kind of worse than her, who like just said something about like, oh, you better work those back rolls, girl. And first of all, yes, I get it's a joke that's on TV.
Right.
Whatever. But it's like it went from like being like a TV show meme to like being a way for people to softly tell someone that they're fat, which I think is completely uncalled for and like likes of body shaming and stuff.
Yeah.
And girl I was with last night was not by any means big. So for someone to just be like, "Oh, nice back rolls, bitch." And like my friend was genuinely offended because she was like, first of all, she was cinched. So to, like, still be told that you have back rolls, that's kind of fucked up and, like, not fair. And, like, she turned around and she was clearly offended. She was like, you know, it kind of sucks. Like, this takes a lot of work to get into to look like
this.
And
the first thing you notice is my back rolls?
Right. And so, and then the queen, of course, replied with, oh, girl, I'm just doing some playful shade and reading. No, it's not playful or it's, like, not
shade. Well,
it's
funny. I've talked about this in the podcast before because we were performing and we get off stage and someone says to Gina Marie, oh, you remind me of Bette Midler. Cute Bette Midler. Great.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Sure.
And then turn to me and says, you are exactly like Divine. I'm like, girl, are you fucking deaf and blind and dumb? Like, are you kidding me? Like, the only thing...
Your eyebrow arch is just as nice, but yours are real.
But those are
exactly.
Yours are real, girl.
I know. Thank you. But it just is so frustrating, right?
Yes,
like,
it
we
is
should
frustrating.
Really, and especially in the gay community, like, we should be supporting
it's
each other,
it's tough.
Not tearing each other down. And it's so nice to hear you. Like, you're so young, 21, mm-hmm. to hear you... you know, we've been speaking before this recording, and I have to tell our listeners, you are, like... so articulate,
Thank you.
Well put together,
mm-hmm.
so warm and welcoming. Like,
thanks.
It's just so nice and refreshing to see.
You
know, it's true.
Thank
well, now
much.
Let's talk some shade
Sorry.
And maybe some other stuff.
Let's
but,
now let's go shade ourselves.
Let's dish it, bitch.
Well,
let's
go into Brandy Glanville on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is possibly getting nixed from the next season.
Well, who is she? She was friends with the alcoholic one. What was her name, right?
Oh,
Kim.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Right. Kim Richards,
Kim
right?
Richards,
okay.
Yeah.
From what I've observed, I know my brother is a very close watcher of it, and I've seen bits and pieces of it. That's, like, one of the housewives that I haven't followed super closely. But what's the girl's name? Brandy? The one who's
Brandy.
Brandy
leaving?
Yeah.
If she's the one that I'm thinking of...
She's
really
the drinker.
Tall.
She's a dumb bitch.
Leanne Rimes is her arch nemesis now.
Sorry, Brandy, but she's a shit stirrer from everything that I've observed.
Yes, she is.
She stirs the pot. Like, she's been cooking something real good.
Here's the thing. We watch these shows and we're addicted to them because of the drama,
of
right?
Of course. Well,
and,
I mean, without people like them.
Right. Well, here's the thing, is that they all know what they need to do to keep the show running.
And
of
I
course.
Think she
so,
definitely does, and that's why she's been on for
well,
so long.
Well, let's be honest. The Housewives... franchise and the Housewives of Beverly Hills specifically is about rich women,
mm-hmm.
and Brandy is like kind of newly wealthy from the show, right? Like when she started,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I recall. Now, let me say this: I also listen to Brandy's podcast, and I
does she have a podcast?
Yes.
Yeah, she does,
and I enjoy it.
Maybe I want to give Brandy a listen.
You should give Brandy a listen because I not that it's really hard for me to take her personality from the show and. Forget what we've seen, but
mm-hmm.
I enjoy her on the podcast,
yeah.
and it's kind of like just
well,
gabbing
I think that's
with your
why
girlfriends.
That's why I think that she really just kind of turns it on and
mm-hmm.
dials up the dial when she knows what to bring
right.
to the
it's
show.
A reality show.
Well,
yeah.
that's what I was just going to say. I think now that I'm sitting and like letting it mull over in
mm-hmm.
my head now
mm-hmm.
that we're talking about it, I think, I mean, as we know with any reality show, there's obviously producer proddings and like
right.
there's character arcs that they're
right.
always trying to mold. I mean, I think if there is an actual, what's the word, coherence or in-tuneness
mm-hmm.
with everything going on, I mean, I wouldn't put it past her.
Right.
I mean, if she
yeah.
is where she is right now and if she has a podcast and she's got her name out there
right.
and she's doing her thing, clearly there has to be some kind of
business
mindset,
right.
exactly,
mm-hmm.
a business mindset where she knows what she's doing,
right.
which obviously I can empathize with as
right.
far as,
yeah.
like, putting shit out there.
And here she is, you know, she had that big breakup,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now she went from being the mother of this, of these kids with this famous
actor
right.
to then being, I'm going to be a mom that's going to be on the TV show, but my kids are not going to be allowed to be on with me. So now I have to kind of be that like single mom that's fun, but you don't see my kids.
Oh,
so now
I
have to turn
part
up
of the breakup.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now the kids weren't allowed to be a part of the show. So now how am I going to be fun? What can I do to be exciting for television? And I think that she kind of knew that.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have made me a new Brandy fan.
There you go.
Sorry, Brandy.
Speaking of fans, I mean, you are a huge fan of Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you think of the last song with Iggy?
It was a grower. I think
a grower, not a shower.
Particularly so. when it,
which I'm not mad about.
Right.
Hey.
Hello.
I mean, of course, I like the, you know, I like
well,
it all
you like
be,
a girth.
I was gonna say on scene immediate girth.
Yes,
cool
I like
it.
I like them.
Yeah.
I like it. to be, but as long as it can get there eventually.
See, I like to be surprised. I like to be pleasantly surprised and be like, oh, okay.
No, see me, like, this is so funny. We were driving around the other day and I was like, I need a coffee. Let's go to our favorite bagel place. It's kind of out of the way and get coffee. So Steven runs in to get coffee and I do a lap with the car around the block. And Steven gets the car and I'm like, oh my God, I just saw my favorite thing. And he's like, what? And I was like, trouser trout. And he's like, what? I was like, this guy in khakis walking down the street. And, like, his schlong hanging down to his knee. You could, like, totally see it.
I was like, what?
I almost got in a car accident.
I was like, what is trouser trout?
No, I'm, like, a size queen. Like, I'm, like, I see
a... you better be. I love that.
I see a fire hydrant, and I'm like, I could take it. I think I could take it. I'm always afraid to lean up against him for fear that I'll go right to the cement.
Jesus.
That makes two of us.
Yes.
That makes two of us.
Well...
Okay, so Pretty Girls.
You know, it leaked a week prior to its actual iTunes release, and when I immediately caught on to the fact that it was out on, like, Tumblr, I, like, found it, downloaded it immediately, and then I listened to it, and the beat, I was like, oh, this is weird. This is definitely different for Britney.
Yeah.
It sounded, I mean, I knew that it was the same producers as Iggy's Fancy.
Yeah.
And I can't remember their names for the life of me,
mm-hmm.
but I know it was the same producers. And, you know, I like, was shocked at how short it was.
Mm.
So I let it do its first playthrough, didn't give any, like, actual judgments. And then I gave it, like, a couple more listens. I was like, all right, this is a bop. I was like, this is cool.
I was like, I can put the top down and drive around and listen to this.
Yes. And we did.
Yeah. What I love about it is that it is so quintessentially a summer song.
It is, yeah.
And, like, whether people, like, the actual the singers or artists who are on it, or they don't like the actual song, whether you're drunk or, like, in a bar or out
mm-hmm.
in some kind of nightlife setting, that shit will come on and people will know it and people will enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think what's cool about it is that it's got such, like, steamroller, like, power just because of what it is.
Well, and I thought that's what was going to happen, and then it kind of fizzled out.
Well, I think there's that. That's also, I think, in part with the flack that Iggy's also receiving. I think had there not been the Iggy Association, which...
Well,
if
our listeners don't know, Iggy was booked for Pittsburgh Gay Pride.
Correct.
And was given... They were... I don't know if the Pride organization and Iggy were all kind of met with a lot of flack for... them booking her because apparently back in the day,
like 5 years ago or something,
there was some sort of like tweet or something where she kind of talked shit about the gays.
She had two tweets, which, yes, on surface, I'm sorry to cut you off by
no,
that.
No, no, no.
On surface, yes, it could seem homophobic based on the content and how it was delivered, but it was so clearly something that any of us have already said that
right.
it really shouldn't be that big of
right.
a deal. She was, first of all, not that it's really that much of a defense. She was young and dumb and 20 years old, didn't expect to be where she is now.
Of course.
And she, you know, it's like you tweet an observance and it's
right.
like, oh, it's a lighthearted jab at something. She saw a group of girls playing sports and I think she referred to them as like dykes. And it's like, okay, when have we not referred
right,
to
exactly.
softball players
exactly.
as dykes?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sure some of us have said that like in passing, like, with our friends, but here it is now, you know, we're in a social
written.
Media world mm-hmm. and everything is now documented.
Well,
you know,
I think it's very funny. I watched Roseanne doing a segment
her.
With Jackie Beat. You know Jackie Beat?
Yes, of
okay.
course.
Who is so hysterical.
Oh.
And it was this segment that they did. I don't know if it was for YouTube specifically or if it was for a TV show that Roseanne was doing, but it was Jackie Beat and Roseanne just kind of talking around a table. They were just kind of eating stuff and just chatting, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they started talking about how sensitive everybody is and how, like, people are raised now to be, like, babies. Like are kept in a bubble. And it's like they're not given the armor to withstand any sort of, like that. Like a tweet of some just bullshit.
Exactly.
Like
nobody has a thick skin anymore.
It's so, it's just, I mean, and here I am about being upset someone compared me to Divine. But it's like, it's just so ridiculous because, like, just get over yourselves. Like, nobody is that important.
Well, this is what bothers me specifically about the Iggy situation is that it's become, it's evolved from being a social justice kind of standpoint to a witch hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And it
well,
happens
that's
with so many things.
Well, that's what I think is happening, it seems, in society right now with stuff like that. It's less about the fight of making the world right.
It becomes a
witch
hunt.
More about a witch hunt, like totally.
And
yeah.
I think the way those tweets are even found from 5 years ago before anybody
right.
even knew her is because of the Twitter search
right.
function. People are typing in keywords just to see if this person has ever said it before.
Right.
I've had it happen. I have followers who like, I don't know, a few years ago, I mean, how old was I? I must have been no older than like 14 or 15. And I wrote something about like people looking like lesbians. I was like making fun of like butch lesbians. I was 14. And
right.
it's like, and granted, I wasn't under fire, but like, I mean, a bunch of retweets were going on and I deleted the tweet just so it could like prevent any actual circulation and misinterpretation.
Right.
Because do I defend what I said? Absolutely not. I don't condone it, but I can realize.
You don't conduct it?
Yeah.
You remember?
I don't condone the behavior, but I don't currently conduct
the
drag race reference
yes,
to Kennedy,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to make sure I was like backtracking in my head. I was like,
no,
did
of course.
I say it
I'm sorry.
I know, but that did get me. I cracked. I love Kennedy.
I think that's why they didn't put her through. I think that's why.
Do you think so?
I think Michelle was kind of like.
I think. Oh, I'm sure there was a little like. I mean, everyone else picked up on it, so I'm sure they.
I mean,
up
the thing is that you can't be top three and not be able to speak like well. I mean, like that.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
I'm sorry. So
no,
yeah. So,
go ahead.
It's okay.
Listen, if you've ever seen Iggy in an interview. Or like her driving with RuPaul video.
I love it.
She's like so cute,
favorite.
So sweet, so open-minded. Like, I mean, everyone needs to calm the hell down. And we're lucky in what we do as comedians. I think we're kind of, not only comedians, but comedians who are dressed as women,
mm-hmm.
are kind of given a free pass.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been strategic about how we do it in our show, where we come out, we make fun of each other,
mm-hmm.
we make fun of our own backgrounds, we make fun of Junie Marie's son, the character of Jeannie Marie's son, Joey, who we say has just come out as a fagala. So we make gay jokes, which is kind of like us making jokes about ourselves.
It's a self-deprecation.
Right,
exactly.
And then it becomes, the audience understands, okay, they're going to make fun of everything. So it's okay for us to
make
the jokes about
mm-hmm.
black people and about Asian people and about lesbians and about gays. And
anything.
This is how I see it. And I could be under fire for this, but I don't know. I see everybody as equal opportunity, as I'm sure you
yeah.
guys
yeah.
do as well. And you know, this is a society, you know, we're in a community at this point where everyone wants to be equal. Everyone wants equal rights.
Right.
Everyone wants to be seen as on par with one another, on level with one another.
Yes.
If you can't take a joke based on an observation that someone makes because it's just the immediate observation and that's what the joke is calling for, you need to grow a pair.
Right.
And, like, move the fuck on. You're going to get made fun of, but if it's in a, it depends on the scenario also. If you're at a drag show,
right.
know what you're in for. Like
it's comedy people.
It's, yeah, and I mean, whatever you brand it as,
yeah.
like
yeah.
you just got to know. You
right.
got to know what you're in for.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if you're not, that's your own fault.
Well, we want to get into
yeah.
and dive into you.
Sure.
Let's do it. Let's
yes.
do it. And before we do that, a message from our sponsor. It's summer. Hey guys, DJ Anita B here, and there's nothing better than finding a great mix of summer music to listen to out by the pool or driving with a top down or, if you're poor, on the train heading out to the beach. Check out my Pride Mix featuring some of my favorite throwback tracks, including songs by Amber, Deborah Cox, Britney, Madonna, and more in the last post to our podcast channel. I have to tell you guys that when I'm not listening to my favorite music, I'm listening to Audible. Seriously, I feel like an old lady telling you this, but I've come to love Audible. I get to listen to some amazing books and discover authors I had no idea I would love. One of my favorites is David Sedaris' Me Talk Pretty One Day, which is hysterical. You have to check it out. Audible also has my good friend Grace Helbig's book, Grace's Guide, The Art to Pretending to Be a Grown-Up, which is so good, and on Audible you get to hear her read it. Our sponsor today is Audible, like always, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Help support House of Mimosa, the podcast, and get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/HOMpodcast. That's audibletrial.com/HOMpodcast. Thanks for your support, guys. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes for free and check out our YouTube channel, Sunday Morning Mimosa, and my personal YouTube channel, Buff 'em Beautiful.
the cherry, I just need to take a bite. Don't tell your mother, kiss one another, die for each other, we're cool for the summer.
I wonder if we should start with the questions, because
okay.
We got a lot of questions on social media.
And maybe it'll help us start.
Because you're a social media maven. So let's get to some of the questions, then we'll go in a little bit deeper.
Okay, so what made you do drag to begin with?
I think there are certainly a couple of elements that like boil down together, for sure. I was first exposed to drag by my dad's mom, my grandmother, Joyce. Who's had like a villa out on Cherry Grove for like 30 something years for a hot minute.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you guys know her, Joyce Rogers, if
yes,
that rings
I
a bell.
Think we have met her.
That's
before.
My, she's crazy curly blonde,
yeah.
Hair,
uh-huh.
Digital camera in hand all the time,
okay.
Uh-huh.
Typically a Yorkie on her left arm.
I love that.
Yeah, so she first exposed me when my family, we were living in Florida, in Tampa, suburbia at the time. We took a long weekend to go visit her. It was like right at the beginning of summer. Out on Cherry Grove, and it was my first time.
How old were you then?
7th grade. So
oh
I,
my
was,
God.
I was. I was probably.
Wait, you're so young. I can't. Wait, were you even born when Britney's first album came out?
Yeah.
Were you alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. That's.
Were you
yeah.
Were you old enough to be conscious of the fact that Baby One More Time was playing on the radio?
Yes.
Okay.
Like is Baby
I was in,
what,
I
wait,
was
wait,
in
is Baby One More Time your material girl?
Yes, I was in kindergarten
I
first grade. I was having fights with people about how old Britney was when I was in elementary
so
school.
So Britney for you is like my Madonna.
Hello.
Yeah.
My mom grew me up on Madonna and No Doubt when
oh,
I was younger.
Yeah.
Wait, so is your mom like my age? I can't even.
I'm
closer to your mother's age than I am to your age, and it makes me sick.
You are.
Oh my God, I can't.
I think my mom is like 45.
Okay.
All right,
oh
all right.
Yeah, that's
okay,
not that
she
far. She could in the middle.
She could have been my babysitter.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's okay. That's
she'd
good.
Be good.
And before Bible Girl gets into her first experience with drag queens, it's time for another episode of The Real Housewives of Queens. starring the gorgeous, buxom, one-time JCPenney model, Anita M. Buffum, and her third best friend, the frazzled, overworked mother of two, Gina Marie Ritali. Join us now as we listen in on Anita M. Buffum planning her 4th of July summer soiree. I'm Guy Bianchi. Maria? Maria, honey, could you por favor me the Starbucks? Give me my Starbucks. I gotta call Gina Marie. Planning the party, honey. Por favor, my Starbucks, all right?
Aphrodite Construction and Lumbering, Greek and Italian Restaurante and Day Spa and Web Design and Pediatric Dentistry and Yoga and Pilates Center and Funeral Parlor and Crisis Call Center and Event Planning Services. We make all your dreams come true. This is Gina Marie. How can I help you?
Hi, Gina Marie, honey. It's Anita.
Oh, Anita.
Hi, honey. I'm calling because of the. I need to talk to the Event Planning Services. Can you put me through?
Oh, well, yeah, of course, honey, but that's me. Hold on 1 second.
Wait a minute, isn't this lunch hour? Aren't you waitressing?
Well, I am waitressing, honey, but, you know, and it's very busy right now. You know, this is the prime time. You know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon is very big here.
Oh, well, who do I talk to, then?
Well, no, you're going to talk to me. Hold on, you know, let me see if I can just get away for a few minutes.
All right.
Is this about a personal party that you're doing, or?
This is about my annual summer 4th of July soiree, honey.
Oh. Well, when are you planning it? You haven't put invitations out or anything yet?
No, the invitations went out.
Oh, well. Oh, well, hold on a second. Luann, honey, can you just check my 4 tables? Yeah, all right, I'm on the phone, honey. I've been planning, yeah, doing everything, yeah, okay, all right, hold on, let me step away, all right, here, let me... I'm going to try to squeeze away in this office. So
all right.
George, I got a call. Event planning. Yeah. All right.
Honey, are you going to be able to help me? Hello?
Yeah, I know, honey.
I don't have all day.
All right. Here we go. I got a
party to plan.
Oh, honey, let me just sit down. Oh, God. All right. Mm. All right, let me get my book out. All right. Now, what date were you looking for?
Well, for the 4th of July weekend, honey.
Oh, God. 4th of July weekend, honey. That's going to be hard. You know, well, that's very coming up quickly. Oh, God.
Yeah, but aren't you event planning? Isn't this what you guys do?
Of course, you know, but, you know, we may have a lot of other things going on, but let me just take a look. All right. Well, you know, this is a new company. You know, the event planning portion is very new. You know, we do catering, but,
you should be able to do whatever I ask because you're event planners. This is your business, right?
No, of course, yeah. No, I'm just saying we happen to be free.
Well, George told me to call.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, look at that. Well, all right, so you wanted to do it on the 4th of July.
Yeah,
right.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so I'm thinking Outback by my veranda, by my gazebo, where the pool is. You know?
Oh, that would be gorgeous.
Yeah, well, we have the huge backyard back there, so I thought this would be perfect. Normally, we have the party at other places. I book it at other venues. But I thought, why not have it right in my gorgeous home? So,
well, you just had Aphrodite redo your whole backyard, so,
right,
I mean, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. So how many people are we talking?
We're looking at about 175 to 200.
175 to 200.
I'm inviting everybody, honey. Everyone's invited.
Well, that's so funny. I never got the invite in the mail, honey. I was surprised to not receive it.
Not everybody, but most people.
All right.
Well, I mean, I didn't want you to feel bad, honey, because these are people of a certain class stature.
Oh, no, you understand. Oh, no, I understand.
I didn't want you to feel uncomfortable.
No, I don't feel uncomfortable. I don't feel nothing. I don't feel anyway.
And plus, you know, your kids, Joey and Tina Marie, they can tell you all about it.
Oh, they're invited?
Well, honey, they're practically my own kids. They're my niece and nephew. Of course I'm inviting them.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm just surprised that you wouldn't have invited me.
But
that's all right.
I did it for you.
Well, yeah, no, that's fine. Let's talk about the party planning. All right. So now, so what kind of foods are you going to want?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, I don't want it to be too reflective of a wedding.
No.
For lack of a better way to describe it, I thought, I definitely don't want buffet because that's trashy.
Oh.
And I definitely don't want shotgun.
No.
So I'm thinking
Well, you'll
sit
have
down.
Sit down. But
sit
you know
down.
What's going to be nice is that, you know, Aphrodite is very different. So we do the whole Italian and Greek blended foods.
Yeah, well, I just want the Italian.
Oh. What do you mean you want just the Italian, honey? This is something special that
no one else
is going to have.
We'll have, of course, for dessert, I want the baklamisu.
Well, of course.
But for dinner, I just want Italian.
No, honey, there's so many different options now, honey.
Oh, all
you
right.
got gyro and peppers.
All right.
Yeah. You know, not just your, you know, steak and peppers and pepper
steak.
Well,
I was thinking beef for the boys and fish for the girls.
Yeah, but honey, you can have so many other things. We got lamb parmigiana.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, you know, instead of chicken, we use lamb.
Oh,
oh, it's
okay.
Very different, honey.
All
it's
right.
Very different and inventive. And, you know, you love baked ziti. Well,
yeah.
Well, have you ever tried it with tzatziki instead of ragout?
No.
Yes, honey, it's very
different. Well, such a thing?
Yes. You, it mixes all your vegetables in there with
so
the garlic.
It's laziti?
Yeah, basically.
Oh.
Oh, that's a good name. I should
all
trademark
right.
that, honey. Hold on. Laziti. Latziki. Latziki.
That's all right,
it.
Well, I'll try that, I guess.
And then meatball.
Well, what will they do for the appetizers?
Well, honey, we'll have meatball skewers, of course.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, instead of kebabs, it's meatballs on the skewer.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to Joey about it. He's very particular. I don't know if he's going to want that.
Joey? What are
yeah.
you talking about, Joey?
Well.
Wait a minute.
Nothing.
You're talking about a summer soiree. What
yeah,
the hell has Joey got to do with it?
Well, I thought that maybe we would just have a little celebration for...
For what?
Well, now that Obama's come to his senses and, you know, how gay is okay.
Yeah.
Well, just a little, you know, party for him and Gino is all, is...
Well, honey,
as it is.
What are you talking about, having a party for him and Gino? You know, I mean, they've been together, yeah, of course, but you can't talk about having a party.
Well, they came to me and they asked if I would host a little...
Host?
...thing for them.
No.
Now
what
that,
are you talking about?
Well, now that gay is okay and the new pope is in office and Obama's...
Well, yeah, but, honey, I'm the mother. I'm the one who's got to be planning the wedding. If they're going to have a gay summer soiree, it's going to be my gay summer soiree for my son.
Yeah, but they know how you feel about it. And at Christmas, there was a turkey at the bay window. And
well, there was everything. That was before, you know, Obama and before this and that just got approved, you know, and before Hillary Clinton stepped up and said she was gay.
I just think that they thought you might be a little upset, so
upset.
They asked me to step in. And, you know, I've been such a motherly figure to Joey anyway.
I know that, honey,
you've always been so busy working, you're an absentee mother.
Well, no, not that I was absentee. I just had a lot going on and, you know, different jobs, you know, like right now. No, but, honey... Well, why don't we do it together?
What?
Why don't we plan the whole soiree together? You could talk to Gino. I could talk to Joey. We find out what the two boys want.
Let's
and then
do this.
We put together the most fabulous gay
okay.
summer soiree they've ever seen.
All right. So what do we got? What do we got to start with?
All right. Well, I definitely think we have to have the food.
Well, no, you have to have
you
food.
You have to have the food. And
that's
I'm
the whole reason you go to a wedding.
Of course, and I'm going to convince them to do the, you know, the Greek and Italian blended, because that's very different.
Yeah, it's very
different.
Just like
they're,
them.
Oh,
just like them.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be very, this will be something people are going to be talking about.
The blending
for a long
of two
time.
Different things.
They're
I love
be
that.
But they're two different things, but they're exactly the same.
But they can come together as equals.
They're exactly the same, but
yeah.
they're two different things.
All right.
And they're
going
to come together.
So we're going to do
all
that.
Right, this is very different. This is going to be, people are going to be talking about this for a long time.
Now, what are we going to do for the backyard?
Well, you know, of course, I've got the chandelabras over there, and we can put the lights on in the pool. And
oh, my God, maybe we should talk to pedestal florists there, honey.
We can talk to them, and then who's going to get to DJ?
Honey, are you
yeah,
all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Are you
yeah,
still
no,
there?
Who are we going to get to DJ? Who are we going to get to DJ?
Oh, God, honey.
I know BJ's son does it.
BJ's son? Oh, my God, he would be fantastic. I bet
and
he'd
plays
do it for
all
a
that,
cheap rate, too.
Well, he plays all that faggle music.
Oh, all right, all right. So BJ Tocavelli's, I'll call her tonight.
All right.
And I'll set up the DJ. Oh, God. And you know who else we got to get? Oh, my God.
Well, the invites already went out.
What?
Well, I already sent the invites, honey. The 4th of July, I had to send the invites out months ago.
What are you talking about, honey?
I told you everyone's already been invited.
Oh,
all 175 people.
Well, what do they freaking look like, honey? You know, you can't just put any,
no,
you know, gay
beautiful.
Wedding soiree together.
No, the
together.
Beautiful. The beautiful. They're all
oh.
gay fagla things.
Okay.
I did it on a purple card.
Oh.
And they're handcrafted mm. by some Mexicans. And we put on their little rainbow. We put on there a cake with two grooms. I put on there a little red sequins in the shape of ruby slippers.
Oh.
Yeah, oh yeah. Uh-huh. And you open it up and there's a little disc in there, a little sound disc that plays Barbra Streisand.
Oh my
I know.
God.
Enough is enough.
Oh God,
I
that's
know.
Fabulous. Honey. Oh my God, I love
this
it.
This is going to be the most fun wedding ever because
oh
gay people are
goodness.
So fun, aren't they?
Yes, of course they are,
well,
honey.
You, and I can lend you my hairdresser, Xander, because he's a faggler, too.
Oh, my God.
And he could do the hair for all
well,
the girls.
He can do all the our hair.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We'll get ready at my house.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and this is going to be great, because he asked me to be one of the bridesmaids. And, of course, see, Tina Marie's going to be bridesmaid. And,
okay.
And then, of course, Vicky's going to walk him down the aisle, because Frankie's in the wheelchair now, and
excuse
it's going to be great.
Wait, no, hold on. Go back. What are you talking about?
The wedding party. Xander can do all the hairs.
You know, you were talking about Vicky the slut.
Honey, it's pronounced DeSloot.
Oh, please. Tomato, tomato.
Honey, Gino doesn't have any family here, so Joey thought he could ask Vicky to walk Gino down the aisle.
And pretend that she's Gino's mother?
Well, he needs a stand-in.
Oh,
well, and she's perfect at that.
Oh, please.
Honey, she's gorgeous.
Oh, well, I don't care what she looks
what,
like.
What, you want an ugly wedding? You want ugly people in your son's
no,
wedding?
I'm not saying that, honey. I just don't want her finagling herself back in my family like she used to years ago.
Well, honey, you can't help it who they want to be part of the wedding. And your husband, Frankie's in the wheelchair right now for his back troubles. And Joey wants you to walk him down the aisle.
Well, of course he wants his mother to walk him down the aisle. I mean, he
wouldn't... So that'll be it. That's
well,
it.
Well, no, that's not right. Does Joey know that Gino wants him to...
Yes, honey.
And that Vicky's going to be...
Yes, honey.
And he's going to be walking like that?
Honey, Tina Marie suggested it.
Did she?
Well, because, you know, her and Tina Marie have been working together down at Amato's family restaurant, bar, and stripper room.
Look at that. Here she is, back again, finagling herself in.
Honey, you're so sensitive.
What do you mean, why wouldn't I be sensitive, honey?
Oh, honey.
After all the stuff that has happened between
oh,
me and Vicky the slut?
Honey, I'm just saying, honey, it's not like you were faithful at that time, too.
How dare you? What are you talking about?
Oh, you mean to tell me nothing happened between you and Nine Finger Nikki?
Nothing happened, honey. I was a good Catholic, respectful Italian girl.
Nothing happened between you and Nine Finger Nikki on that cruise from Miami up to New York?
Nothing happened, honey. God, we were just good friends. God, it's not what, you know, what Frankie did with Vicky.
Oh, come on.
Honey, the last time I saw Vicky the slut, she was spread eagle at the hotel at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada, with her legs wrapped around my husband.
Well, you need to get your story straight, honey.
What do you mean?
Were her legs wrapped around your husband, or was it she spread eagle? Something's not right in River City, honey.
Well, she's a showgirl. I think she could do both, no?
Stay tuned to the House of Mimosa, the podcast, for more The Real Housewives of Queens. Will Joey and Gino get gay consummate? Will Vicky walk Gino down the aisle? Will Gina Marie be invited? Stay tuned. I'm Guy Bianchi. And now, back to Bible Girl and her first experience with drag queens.
So, going to Cherry Grove, I guess I was 12, so I must have just been... I was going to be turning 13 at the end of that summer. So I didn't know what a drag queen was. That was, like, never anything I'd ever been exposed to. I knew I was gay, but didn't ever actually define it internally quite yet at that point. And so I had never actually seen adult gay men in public being openly
gay.
And affectionate to each other.
Yeah.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
You must have been, like...
Yeah, it wasn't like
your whole world
must have...
Exploded.
Yeah, it wasn't like I was, like, turned on, but it was...
No.
It was interesting to, like,
Well, to see that there was a world out there that it was okay.
Right, because I knew I was different.
Right.
As, you know, everyone says, I knew I was different. But, and I knew I was gay on top of that, but I think to have everything materialize so physically was really interesting.
And at Cherry Grove, vividly.
No less, yeah. And it was like lunch rush hour. All the girls were out, like, doing their thing.
Do you know who your first queen was, Isa? Do you know any of their names that
you
remember?
Oh, that's so fun, yeah.
Who was my first drag queen? It was definitely someone at a... It was someone in passing at... It was either Cherry's or Ice Palace. I really don't remember off the top of my head. But it was someone in that family. I remember my first drag poster, actually, though. The first one that I saw.
Okay.
It was a Shaquita Hall poster right outside of Ice Palace. I remember that poster vividly. And I remember locking that into my head because I thought her name was funny.
Uh-huh.
And that was... I mean, that was that. And I think something stuck there. And I locked it away and I didn't really reopen it until recently. But so there was... that influence, and then I went to school for fashion design. And
fashion design?
Yes, for fashion design at FIT for women's wear.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a huge...
Perfect, we'll be talking after the show.
Surely. Hey, see, I heard you can't sew. I heard
I can't.
I think I could teach you a thing
perfect.
Or two here.
Good.
But so, keeping in mind the fashion design background, a story arc or storyline that has followed me in every chapter of my life is that I've always been told I wasn't good enough, or that I was bullied. So even in school, in college, my contemporaries were telling me, you know, you're not good enough, this isn't working, like, you really should think about switching. I had professors telling me that I should consider switching my major. And it was like, why is, like, no one trying to help me out here? I was like, well, maybe this
is
the avenue.
Yeah, like, their job for them to teach you?
Yeah, I mean, FIT is a weird can of worms to
get into.
Did
they feel like
into.
You weren't fitting into the mold?
That
they
was
create?
It. That was the thing. Because FIT is like, what do I call it, like a sweatshop. they're trying to churn out what their vision of fashion designers are. And that wasn't what I was fitting into. And so not only the professors, but the students, that was like a whole thing telling me, like, you're not good enough. This isn't going to work. And it was like designs that I thought were great. And there were things that I would wear. And I was like, well, how could I wear this? And then I also, in part with school for a job, I was working in straight nightlife as a table host for meatpacking clubs, such as like Avenue or Dream Hotels, PhD,
fun.
Stuff like that. And I would be out. I was smoking cigarettes at the time. Don't smoke. Quit. And there were several instances on different nights where I had modeling scouts from like Red Model Management or Wilhelmina, people who are reps scouting for people in these clubs, would come up and say, hey, you should, you know, we would love to have you. Send us your headshots.
That's amazing.
So thank you. So I would, I would contact photographer friends that I knew who would be down to just get me some Polaroids. And then I'd send my stuff out and then there'd be no response. Or people would say, no, we don't want you anymore. Sorry, we're changing our minds. So as someone who I'm like doing backtracking, but also like telling a story. So there's a lot of back and forth. I apologize.
Okay. Yeah.
As someone who, when I was younger, you know, I was overweight. So I deal with a lot of like, not to say I have body dysmorphia, but I certainly have tendencies to like question my self-image a lot of the time. So to have that was a little crippling at times. And so that was kind of the factors where it was like, well, I want to be somewhere in the spotlight in the entertainment industry. If fashion design wasn't going to get me to be somewhere mainstream to have people enjoy my art as an entertainer, how could I unlock this Pandora's box? You know, full circle here with Pandora. How could I unlock this Pandora's box to just like really create something that people are going to receive well and understand what I'm doing? And drag just kind of seemed to make sense. That's, I introduced drag in the straight clubs. That was my first entrance into the community.
Because we, when we started, we did a lot of sports bars.
Oh, really?
And, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah. So I was, I was friends with the doormen and the bouncers for like 3 years at that point. So in my third year, which is my final year in the nightlife industry in that regard, I introduced drag. And immediately, that was kind of the turning point for me to want to start really pursuing it, because the first night which I did it on was Halloween. It'll be 2 years as of this upcoming Halloween was when I had introduced it. The reception was so positive and not uncomfortable. And obviously, I think doing it on Halloween created that platform.
Oh, sure.
But people got into it. And then from that point on, I was like, all right, this is going to be a regular thing until I decide to finish this promoting stuff and start focusing on other things. And it, you know, proved to be pretty successful.
Did the name Bible Girl come from?
Originally, well, I'm from like the MySpace generation. So I was like an angsty teen when all of that kind of started going on. And so there was that. I liked the idea of tongue in cheek, like emo girl, just kind of like, what, who is this bitch? Like an annoying 13-year-old bitch. So that was kind of like the first point of selecting it. It's just kind of like a parody of a MySpace username, which then I had adopted as like a Skype username and stuff like that from seventh grade onward, which is ironic that all these things kind of happened in the seventh grade window. And then as I was still trying to figure out the drag name thing, you know, Bible Girl was definitely like one of the options, or actually it was originally Bible Girl 666, which I wound up abbreviating just because people are too drunk to remember that many syllables. But so I then also decided on Bible Girl because I wanted to somehow mimic or parody the concept of being a pop star. And I felt like Bible Girl could be like the drag answer to Madonna.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so I figured...
Oh, I see.
You know, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's so much more on the nose and in your face than just like Madonna, I think. It's what it is. And I figured, you know, it'll, if I were to be in a lineup of queens somewhere, say, you know, it would stand out. It certainly isn't that forgettable. At least in my opinion, I would think. And that's just kind of what made it stick. I just kind of like the subversiveness.
I'm sorry. Don't interrupt.
No, you're fine.
I want to keep it rolling.
Please.
Where did you learn your makeup skills? And I know, and if you could touch a little bit on, because we do have a question about the big eyes.
Sure.
If you'd ever do big eyes again. So where did the big eyes come from and your makeup skills? And will you ever go... Will you ever do big eyes again?
Okay. So the big eyes started out as a mistake. I taught all of my makeup
Fallout,
techniques.
Girl, I know.
Well,
you're doing the under eye and it just falls.
You know, girl.
Pushing it out.
Uh-huh. Well, I have very shaky hands, so I was using a white eyeliner pencil.
Hence the pot smoking.
Hello. calm my nerves.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I got to cure. I have to cure my Ebola. Chronic weed smoker, you know, don't smoke, whatever. But, you know, it was a shaky hand and I had a white eyeliner pencil and it, you know, I was doing the beginning of my waterline and I slipped into where like the bags of my eyes start. And I was like, oh, I like that shape. And so I did it on the other side and started filling it in. And then that kind of stuck as like the aesthetic for a bit. And then each time I did it, it would just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And bigger.
Now, do you think that some of these other girls that I see doing that were inspired by your look?
I'm shaking my head no and saying yes.
Okay. Okay, I gotcha.
I love that. All
right. So where did you learn makeup, though, in general? Did you teach yourself, or...?
Well, I first got into makeup, I was later years of high school. I developed really bad acne in junior year, and it was to the point of me needing to be on Accutane. So to hide, like, acne scars, I had started, like, dabbling in my own mom's, like, Clinique collection, or, like, she would teach
your
me
skin
how
is
to...
so yeah,
your
great.
Skin is flawless.
Thank you.
I'm like... Jeez,
yeah.
You would never know.
I really appreciate that. Like, the right side of my face was, like, black. It looked like I had road rash. Like, someone threw me out of a car on the highway, basically.
Oh,
it was, like, it was weird because I had perfectly fine skin right until the winter of junior year of high school. And then all of a sudden, it, like, just started popping up. And, like, no one could figure out what it was. Estheticians, dermatologists had no idea. So eventually, they were like, all right, let's try Accutane. I tried it. And, like, immediately, the results were so quick. So I still at that time had like some scarring, residual scarring. So I was still trying to figure out how to cover things. And I think that was like the entryway into being like, oh, I like this. This is fun. And like, I had a fine arts background in high school. So I liked the concept of painting on like a blank face kind of canvas concept. And then I'm totally losing my train of thought.
Makeup. How you started, you learned.
Okay. There we go. And then, I don't know. I just would watch things on YouTube. I think the one person that I could really credit the most when I first started would be Miss Fame. Her YouTube tutorial, it was her, I think one of her first actually, one of her first makeup tutorials that she had done right before she, I guess must have, I mean, it was December of like 2013 or so. So it was like right before she had been, you know, off to LA.
Been mainstream.
Yeah. So it was like that first video and I remember watching it and I like, did like a diatribe of everything she had listed. I was like, I need to get all of these and I'm going to follow the basic schematics of what she's doing. And then I'm going to expound on it of my, like with myself and experiment and see what, where I can take it or what I can do with
and
it.
And find yourself through it.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I get a lot of people online asking me, can you help me with my makeup or what tips do you have? And like, I'll get into it with them and I'll be like, you know, my number one tip is not to watch drag queens tutorials, except for Miss Fame's.
Miss Fame's,
but
I
most
swear.
Drag tutorials I find, I thought the best way for me to learn was watching real girl tutorials and then just
going bigger.
Yeah, because drag is, I think drag is such a specific thing, but you have to build it on your face. So if you're watching some drag queen do her makeup, that's right for her face. And it's such a, I don't really know how to put it into words, but I found watching real girl tutorials and tips and then just being like, okay, now how can I
expand,
blow
that.
It up
totally.
Or work for my face,
totally.
You know, or just watching the tutorials on contouring and then understanding, okay, that's how it works on their face.
Knowing where their structure is versus where your structure is.
Right. Because
I
see so many people doing makeup that I'm like, that would look so great on somebody else's face.
Completely.
You know? Like,
completely.
It's perfect, but not on your face.
Yep. No.
And you got it, like,
sense.
down.
Thank
like, you.
You
look so good.
Thank
so
you.
So good.
Thanks
yeah.
so much.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, it's a process.
Well, how long does it take you?
Nowadays, I've got it down to about, like, an hour 15.
Okay.
So, I definitely remember, like, back when we were talking before recording, in October when I was in Chicago, I mean, I was still at the point where it was taking me, like, 4 to 6 hours, depending on the severity.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, also at that point, I really didn't know a lot about, like, proper makeup application.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the right brushes.
Right.
I was using eyeshadow for everything. Like,
right.
it was
mm-hmm.
just kind of like a guess and check, trial and error process.
Right.
And now
yes.
I've developed enough of... a utility belt, so to speak, where I
right.
have all the right things and everything in my repertoire where I can use them properly and accordingly, so it speeds the process
up. What's your tip for new girls starting out with makeup, where makeup's concerned? Do you have a tip?
The only tip I could really give that's applicable universally would be don't get set in one way.
Yeah.
And if you think you've found your face, you probably haven't yet. Check and see if other people have your face while you're, even if you're doing it still, just like take it as like a sign, because this is what I did. I mean, I took it as a sign of, there are some people who kind of look similar to me. This might not be meant for me then. What's the next route? Where's the next route of evolution? Where can I learn something new and where can I take it? So never give up and never get used to or be set in a way of doing things.
Right.
It's the only way you'll be able to grow and
so
actually polish up.
So smart.
Somebody wanted to know, how do you cover your eyebrows if you do?
I saw that comment earlier.
Uh-huh.
It's by this girl. I think her name is Brooke. She lives in the UK.
Okay.
And there's a long-running joke because there's a lot of controversy, and I'm sure you've experienced it. Do you both cover our eyebrows?
But look at these, bitch.
Bitch, you both are...
Yeah, no, girl.
You guys look freshly threaded, bitch. You look
Thank
good.
Yes.
You look good.
I actually need it.
Yeah.
We don't go like every week or every
It's
anything,
every two
but
weeks, but...
I love it. No, so basically, I mean, there's just plenty of controversy with, you know, people are... specifically online with me, people are up in arms about, I mean, I've been accused of having a busted mug solely based on the fact that I don't cover my brows. And then it's like, why would I? If I already have the material,
and
why,
they're good.
Why, thank you. Why would I waste that extra 30 minutes of getting ready?
Well, and I hate to give away such good tips, but in branding, your eyes are a big part of your look.
Yes.
And the eyebrows are unchangeable. Nobody will have your brow with your eye combination.
Yep.
So, like, that's like your snowflake. So,
right.
Like, I'm recognized all the time
for your
eyebrows. My eyes,
yes.
And how I do my lips. People are like, it doesn't matter what you're wearing, your hair, your dress, whatever, but, like, I know it's you from the face.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not that I'm saying that everyone should not cover their eyebrows.
Of course not.
But I like my eyebrows, and it's one feature of mine that I've always liked, and so... why would I take the time to cover them if
yeah.
I really like them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, makes total sense.
Yeah, well, I think one more quick thing going off of that is I think drag is, you know, a projection of you and who you are as a person. So I think to be able to retain specific characteristics or traits of
yes.
yourself,
yes.
I think is really cool to have transcend into drag. Because I feel like where my drag specifically, where it's come at this point is I feel like Bible Girl has really become like an alternate version of me.
Right.
And
yes.
I mean that purely based on looks without the concept of drag. I feel like it's legitimately like it's definitely a more feminine version looking of myself. And I feel like it's that side of me that
I'm able to.
Well,
she could be your twin sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like it's the duality I think is
yes.
really cool. So to be able to have something like that, that doesn't need the transformation,
yeah.
but it's still very characteristic of you
it's
specifically,
signature to yourself. Yeah.
I think it's cool. That's why
yeah.
I keep it. So that's why I'll never cover my brows unless I have to.
Exactly.
Which I'm more than capable of doing. So I just
choose well,
not
it's
to.
Funny. I practiced for the possibility of maybe someday being told that I should.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I got the coverage down and I got it smooth. But then drawing them on was another thing.
Oh,
I might need to ring up Anastasia and be like, I need to borrow some of those stencils, girl.
Collar up?
Yeah.
I need a stencil. Fill it in the blank.
So I don't want to run out of time. I want to talk about some of the really exciting things you have going on. And one of those things is drag merch. My God, they're so boring. Hashtag Bible Girl sucks. Hey guys, DJ Anita B here, and I've got one of my favorite songs of the summer from pop indie powerhouses Prince George from their self-titled EP. This is called Upswing. merch.
Yes.
.com.
Dragqueenmerch.com.
Dragqueenmerch.com. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. So basically, Drag Queen Merch is a germ that my father and I came up with, and it's my dad is in the apparel industry, and he's...
Happy Father's Day, by the way.
Yeah,
Happy Father's Day.
We're recording on Father's Day.
Yes.
So.
Yes, I was actually just with my parents right before coming here. But so my father works in the apparel industry, and he is very in tune. Both my parents are very in tune, thankfully, with everything that I do. But my dad is where I've gotten most of my business mindset from with doing things. And he saw that drag at large is becoming a very... palpable business.
Yeah, it's
a very big thing,
right,
that can easily be monetized,
yeah,
and just turn into even more of an industry than it already is.
Well, and what's exciting about that is that part of it is so new.
Yeah, it's
so
fresh.
There's a lot that can be claimed.
Yes,
and
so
which is what you're doing with this, and I think it's great.
Thank you. So one of the biggest points about Drag Queen Merch is that anybody can be a part of it. There's no cost to be a part of it. And if it's direct print to shipping...
So it's t-shirts, it's apparel.
Yeah, it's all apparel-based.
So if you're a queen that wants her own t-shirt...
Mm-hmm, doesn't matter if you have a following or not, or if you're planning on garnering one, whatever you want to do, or if you just have family and friends that want t-shirts, you can totally have something set up. And we do that very like hands-on via email. It's very easy. My dad has specifically done phone calls with people who have, you know, inquired about it. Eliminates a lot of the middleman kind of stuff that is involved with developing merchandise for yourself.
Which I would imagine makes it more affordable.
Immensely.
And I love that there's not a cost up front, because a lot of the options out there that we've been looking at for House of Mimosa and for Anita, it's either you have to buy a lot of product up front and then hopefully sell it, or you're only going to get 10% or 20% of what's sold.
Right, and that's what's really awesome is that even with percentages and stuff, you're still, I mean, if you're selling your shirts, you're making the majority of it. I'm not really, like, nobody that's a part of the actual company itself is taking a gigantic chunk out of anybody's change. It's just like, that's not the basis of what the company is. It's meant to help remove bullshit. I mean, for example, there's Redbubble.com, which is a fan-oriented kind of sales website where people can make shirts of anything, and it's loopholed. So nobody can sue for usage of face or name.
Yeah.
So fans are making stuff for, like, of me, of, like, Bianca Del Rio.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Anybody and everybody has some kind of merchandise that is fan-made on this website.
Nice.
And it's great for people
who don't
have... I have
to go home and check to see if we're on there.
Well, check it out. You never know. But so there are people who... It's not, like, malicious, but, you know,
yeah,
it's profiting off of and making merchandise based on you, where these people who may not have access to having merchandise made for themselves don't really know what to do about it.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, there's already merch. What do I do?
Right.
So this is something where we can come in. It's the official, like, portal, so to speak, where it's like, that is your official merchandise. There's no question about it. There's no third party that's making stuff without your consent. And people will know to go to your specific tab and say, oh, I want an Anita shirt. Oh, I want a Gina shirt. Let's check this out.
I love that.
Yeah, and it's like, then you can order it. And what's also great is that the second the order is placed on the website, it's put through into the factory. The factory prints shirt as a one-off, and then it ships it out, no questions
asked.
And I
love that you told me earlier that it's inkjet, it's not silkscreened.
Correct.
So that means as many colors, that means as...
The colors,
like,
are infinite.
And, like, it can be any image.
Anything and everything.
And that's so great,
yeah,
because it's such... it's an option that there's not a lot of out there, especially for... You know, small business owners like ourselves, and each drag queen out there, hello, ladies, you're a small business owner is what you are.
Well, I look at it as a small startup.
Yeah,
totally.
Exactly, completely.
And it's so nice to have a resource out there like what you've got going here.
Thank you.
Think that the possibilities are sound endless with it, and it sounds very user-friendly. So check out dragqueenmerch.com.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them Bible Girl sent you.
That's right.
And
awesome. You also have your own merch.
I do have my own merch, which,
yes,
can be found on dragqueenmerch.com.
Which I
want to
talk about things like your catchphrases and
of
where
course.
They come from. I want to know where Bible Girl Suck started. And I want to know about Clitorally.
Okay. Bible Girl Sucks started because of an entertainer in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out. I had just done a gig. I was at Metropolitan Bar, and I had done a show, and then I went to another one to just after party and, like, chill out afterwards, mm-hmm. and bars were still open, just grab a drink. And I was with a couple of the girlfriends that were at the show with me prior to, and we went in, and I was having a conversation. Oh, actually, I was with Pearl that night, and uh-huh. I was having a conversation with one of her friends that had
come. Oh, you dropped something.
Did I?
It was a name.
Oh, I did. Oh, no. I was trying to think about who I was talking to. No, it's Pearl's friend, Russell, who worked in the hair salon that she worked in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking. It was my first night meeting him. And this entertainer, you dropped something that's sitting in my head, you bitch. I love it. And this one person who I had spoken to a couple of times, we had known one another. And I had known that... he was a bitch always, just from kind of the get go. Just kind
not
of
Pearl, this
up.
Other person.
No. This entertainer.
Oh, yeah,
inside. And he was like, "We need to talk," and like pulled me out of the conversation I was having with Russell. And I was like,
wow.
"Oh, we do." And I'm in like full face. This person's like not in drag, like, and he's not really a drag queen, and he's vocalized the fact that he's not a drag queen. So
okay,
I'll leave that there. But so
I'm trying to guess who it is.
I think I might know.
Maybe you do.
Maybe. Possibly.
Maybe. So he pulls me aside, like, "We need to talk." I'm like, "All right." And he
does
goes,
it sound like that?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think, okay.
And I was like, "All right, what's up?" And he was like, "Listen, you know, I love you. You're great. You're a great performer. I love everything about you. You're beautiful. But don't perform. You can't perform. You can't perform. You suck." And I was like,
wow.
Oh, all right. All right, because I'm the one getting paid when I'm doing this shit.
Yeah.
You are?
Okay.
So that's basically where Bible Girl Sucks came from, and it's weird because it became the snowball of just like the awareness of the hate that I get, and it.
Well, I like
great.
The spin on it.
It's
thank
really
you.
Great.
Thank you. I mean, I didn't expect it to catch on. All I did was hashtag one picture Bible Girl Sucks.
And people ran with it
so hard. Clitorally is something that one of my really dear friends, Karina, and I, we came up with just via banter back when we had met in college, and it just kind of stuck. And I was like, this is something that should be mainstream, and like, if I can have my name thrown on it, like, fine, whatever.
I love it.
Trademark's in the works too, bitch.
Well, I don't know if you could talk about this. Trademarking, I... what is the name?
You lost your train of thought.
Yes, kind of ish. You know what I'm going to talk about.
Maybe. Trademarking.
I was on your Instagram and...
I have a couple of trademarks.
Yes, no, but there's... but there was an issue with another site that's...
Oh.
I can't remember the name, and maybe we won't talk about
that.
Well,
we won't have
or,
to talk about
well,
it.
Well, I mean, the writing's on the wall with you just being said you can't remember the name. So all I'm going to say is that...
I won't go into detail other than what I saw was someone claiming that you were ripping off something they had.
Correct.
Trademarked.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, I can openly talk about it. There's like not really an issue here.
Okay.
So basically what had happened was I'd come up with a label idea because I wanted to also start pursuing some kind of merchandise deal that was aside from being drag queen, being a drag queen and having drag queen apparel. I wanted to have like one-off graphic tees like any other person
in the industry
does. So I had the name of the line that I had come up with was something that I had named a collection years ago when I was in college. And it was something that I liked, and I knew that it was like this kind of like relatable like thing that people got. It was like a very Tumblr aesthetic kind of label name. And I was like, whatever, it'll catch on. It's fine. So... that was the original thing that I had chosen for this clothing brand. And I actually went out of my way. I got it trademarked. This happened, I applied for the trademark last spring, and it took, you know, a couple months. It goes through that whole process. And in December, I was approved.
Okay.
It was mine. And there was no claims of... there were no objection claims to it.
Right.
So then all of a sudden in December, after the trademark had been approved, I had two people email my father and myself saying, "Hey, we have these clothes that say what this brand is, you know, what your trademark is. Can we pay you for it? Blah, blah, blah."
So they hadn't, I see. Uh-huh.
So these are people who
stupid
had
business people.
Well, who had made the merchandise but didn't think to trademark
what it was.
And that's like... in my head, I'm thinking, that's not my fault. Like,
right.
you should have well on,
right.
like, beat
right.
me to the punch because
right.
I mean, they're girls who are definitely like 5 to 10 years older than I am.
Right. Uh-huh.
So they should have already had the business mindset
right.
to get that shit done and taken care
right.
of. But they didn't.
Right.
And at that, right. Sorry about it. And at that point, it's like, I'm not going to relinquish something that I...
Right. Are
something
passionate
that,
about.
Something that I had faith
on.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now fast forward to almost a month ago at
yes.
this point.
Uh-huh.
This is when it all started. So everything had finally been approved. Things had been kind of been being put to motion. I got the domain online. I had that, all of that. And I was in Philly. And I was like waiting to get ready for a gig. And I like put together a logo for the site. And I'll just plug the fucking name so it makes sense. But like the name was Sad Girls Club.
That's right.
Okay.
Naturally, when you say Sad Girls Club, does a frowny face not immediately come to mind? Like a frowning smiley
right,
face,
right.
something in that motif
right.
genre,
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
So I did for the logo. It was a frowning face with like an upside down cross in the forehead with like a heart going around the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, very like straightforward with what it was.
And it's like line art.
Yeah,
yeah
it was
yeah.
like
yeah.
nothing that
right.
was like
so,
intricate
yeah.
or
right.
like something that I could have stolen per se.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I announced the launch of it. I was so excited, really hyped. I just got ready for the show. And then all of a sudden it was like wildfire. Like within minutes of posting
yes.
it, the people that had the merchandise on their website started like coming after
yeah,
me
yeah, yeah.
on like, the comments because people started tagging them
right.
saying that I stole their name and stole their logo. I had never actually been to the website before. I had never seen their shit before.
Right.
And all of a sudden they're saying like, this is IP theft, like see you in court, XOXO. And I'm like, bitch, you're a 28-year-old. And you just like see you in court, XO. I'm like not that concerned. And they're like, we've had it on our stuff since 2011. And I was like,
well, you didn't trademark
you
it.
You had it for 4 years and never thought to trademark it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, shows how smart you are. So in that, and you know, long story short, I said, I'll call a spade a spade. I'll keep the trademark, and I just won't use it.
Uh-huh.
So I switched over, trademarked something else, and completely rebranded. It's now saltyhoes.com.
Right.
That's H-O-E-S.com. And, you know, they said it was in 2011 that they've had it, and it can stay there. And I see nothing but salty hoes in the future.
There you go. I love it.
I love that.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So what other performances do you have coming up? Do you have performances that people can check out? Or where can they... it's all on babagirl666.com.
Yeah. You can find any performance info or event info I'll have up on biblegirl666.com. I have like a little scrolling slideshow on the homepage. Also my Instagram, which I'm regularly active on, or Twitter, or even my Facebook entertainer page. I'm constantly saying where I'm going to be at or what I'm doing. One thing that is consistent that you can count on me being at is every Wednesday at Eastern Block, which is on East 6th
Avenue.
I know,
I'm dying to come out.
Oh, it's so fun. It's called Hellfire Club. That's the party. It's my first weekly party, which I'm so
stoked.
Oh,
so
good.
Thank you. But I'm co-hosting with Ruby Rue, who's
oh, yeah.
a dear, dear friend. I love her.
We have a mutual fan, Ruby Rue, and us. We have this girl, shout out to Tally, who comes to our brunch.
Yes.
Every Sunday she's at our brunch.
Natalia.
Oh, she wasn't here today, actually.
Oh, yeah.
But almost every Sunday she's at our brunch. And
I think I know her.
She's red hair.
Red
yeah.
hair. She's always
glasses.
At the...
Yep, I know her, because I always see her at Duplex.
Yes.
Ruby
yes.
Was,
yes.
So.
At the,
yeah.
yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
We were doing a show at the Duplex, and we finished our show in the theater, and we came out, and Ruby's show was about to start there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tally was at our show
oh,
and saw
awesome.
This show going on.
And then she went every week.
Yeah.
It's like drag
yeah.
porn. I love it.
Oh, my God. She... You know, it's so cute, because... I think we were probably her first drag show.
I think we may have been.
And we've told this
yeah.
story before, so I won't give the long version. But she would watch us from outside on the street. And we're
aww.
Like, come in, come in. And it was a couple weeks before she finally got...
The courage.
Before she finally came in.
Yeah, to come
and,
inside.
And now she, like, comes every week. And we love
I
it.
Love that. I mean, I think there's something to be said about us being able to garner female fan base also.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I love having a female
yeah, yeah, yeah.
fan
yes.
base.
Well, can you talk a little... We're running out of time, but I really want to hear a condensed version of your... experience at DragCon.
Sure.
And I saw a really touching story that you had posted about meeting some fans there.
Yeah. Something that was really cool about DragCon is that I went into it with zero expectation. And I came out of it with a complete validation for everything that I do. I'm aware of the fact that the demographic for what I do is extremely young. I think the age range is anywhere from about like 8 years old onward.
Wow.
So the main...
Was there a lot of young kids there?
Yeah, because it was an all-age event. So it was like the first time any of these kids were like able to come and see these drag queens that they follow and idolize over online.
That's wonderful.
And to have it be personified, I think it was a really great experience for them. But so for me, when I had people coming over there, there were some instances where there were kids who had come in with like a parent or both parents and, dressed all flashy. Like they were very in their element, very comfortable. It was just so cool. So cool to see the support coming from parents, because as someone who comes from a supportive family, I know that it's extremely lucky.
Yes,
and it's
a
complete rarity.
Right.
So to see it on such a level was really crazy to me. So there was one instance in particular that really was moving to me. I believe he was a 13-year-old boy, and he was in like a fur coat. It was, you know, summer in LA, but a fur coat, like looking great, just to the nines,
yeah.
Amazing. And he was with his mother, and he was so nervous to meet me. And I met you guys, I'm just like that with everyone else. I'm very warm. I don't care who you are, what you do. I'm immediately first like encounter. I'm very easygoing with everything. And I was so excited to meet everyone there. So he was like so shocked at the fact that I was nice. And his mother was just like floored. And I was talking. We were taking pictures and signing stuff. And then I had a couple of friends that were helping me run the booth to just get some merch out to people.
Yeah.
And so he went to the table to go look at stuff. And then I was talking with his mother. And I said, thank you so much for, you know, being here and like being present in your kid's life at such a young and important time. And she started, well, first she thanked me, which was gratifying in and of itself. She said, you're like a huge role model in my kid's life. You specifically, like,
aww.
We follow and watch everything. And I mean, in my head, I'm like, I'm an asshole on that. But it's,
right.
You know,
okay.
at least people like get what I'm doing. Then
yeah.
They see that I stand up for certain things. So
yeah.
That was nice to hear coming from a parent, specifically a mother. And she started saying how both her and her husband are supportive of their son. And she said that the second her son had asked about getting tickets to go, she didn't even hesitate. She said yes. And that was because she wanted her kid to see that he's not alone and that there are other people in the world just like him. And that is where I lost. I was
wow.
like, that is so powerful.
Well, that's
very...
like you in seventh grade, talk about full circle,
yeah.
going to Cherry Grove
13.
With your grandmother
yeah.
and seeing gay men be out and comfortable and yeah,
proud of who they
like,
were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like... I don't know. I legitimately lost it. I wasn't expecting to cry at all. And I think
yeah.
that was day two. So I think there was just a lot of just like everything bubbling
yeah.
up.
Oh, of course.
And that was just like one of those moments where I was like, oh, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And it was just like so moving and so great. I love it. It really centered me that for what I do in drag,
yeah.
whether I make it big or whether I remain doing what I'm doing, having things like that anchor me down, that
right.
give me self-worth and
well,
self-awareness.
You always
really...
have to check in with yourself, right?
Yeah.
And remember, number one, while you personally do what you do,
mm-hmm.
and this is for all our listeners out there, whatever it is that you love to do or you're living your passion, live it. And also check in with yourself and remember why it is that you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also take stock in the people that get to observe it
yeah.
and the
and how it
enjoyment
affects
others. That they get out of it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that's a beautiful thing. Okay, we're running out of time, but do we have time to quick fire the last few questions?
Yes.
I want to make sure that all your fans that ask, we get to ask, get them answered. Okay, quick fire.
So,
okay.
Your favorite Britney song?
Get Naked, I Got a Plan.
Okay. And what's your Starbucks order?
Venti Iced Coffee or a Venti Blonde Roast.
Favorite song to perform?
I have a mashup of Madonna's Get Together and Britney Spears' Trouble.
Okay.
Good for you.
Where and when were your first performances, and what was it like?
My first performance ever was at the FIT, the Fashion Institute of Technology drag competition, Miss
uh-huh.
FIT. It was my first performance, and it was a hot fucking mess. Although I coordinated everything, but I had a shoe come off in the middle
oh,
of the well, performance.
That'll
happen
to you. You gotta go size smaller.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And I made last place, but you know,
oh.
never quit reaching for your dreams.
That's true. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
This is, will you come back?
Duh.
Who would
okay,
that
when, whenever the next thing is you have, when Salty Hose like has some new merch, like come back, let's talk about it. You have been such a joy. Please check out BibleGirls666.com and We love you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
I love
you guys.
Fun.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you. Guys, make sure you're subscribed on iTunes. You can also find us at youtube.com/Sunday Morning Mimosa and youtube.com/BuffumBeautiful. And please share a video, share the podcast. It's because of you guys that we get to keep this going, and word of mouth is the best advertisement we can ask for. So thank you guys for your support. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks,
guys.
Like she loves some. In the club with the lights off, but you acting shy for. Come and show me that you're with it, with it, with it, with it, with it. Stop playing, now you know that I'm with it, with it, with it, with it, with it, with it. What you acting shy for?
Just give me you, just give me you, just give me you. That's all I wanna do. And if what they say is true, if it's true, I'ma give it to you. I may take a lot of stuff, guaranteed I can back it up. I'ma call you bluff. Hurry up, I'm waiting out front.